What's up, After Buzzers? We are here with Real Housewives of Atlanta, Season 9, Episode 11. Thelma and Luis are going to take Flint. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Is this great stuff? That's a weird intro.
She like music. She from New
York. Yeah, okay.
Well, he started from like
they took our main part.
I know. And we're back, guys.
Yeah. After Buzz TV, Real Housewives of Atlanta.
We're back.
And we're back. What's up? Yes, we are back with Real Housewives of Atlanta, Season 9, Episode 11. It's crazy. Hey, guys, what's up? Thelma and Luis take back Flint.
Yes,
definitely.
Or take Flint. They take Flint
this
episode. So, just in case you're wondering, English is not here this episode, but she will be back next week. People were asking last week where English was, so yes. She's just gone for a little
while. Oh, we didn't inform you guys.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I totally
Usually
forgot.
We do.
Yeah. I know. English will be back next week, guys. Sorry. So, anyways, welcome back. I'm Jessie Zahner. You can find me on all social media at Athletic, and tell everybody where they can find you guys.
Hi, guys. It's Mo Classified. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Mo Classified.
And what's up, everybody? I'm Justin Hart, J Hart. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, all the social media at It's Me, J Hart.
Definitely.
Yes. I love this Chance the Rapper intro, so thanks for suggesting it. We love Chance here.
I know. It's almost been a year since this was released, but we're still jamming it like it's new.
It's an amazing album.
It is. It really is. So, let's start with Thelma and Luis. So, Kenya and Portia take a trip to Flint for the camp. So, what did you guys think?
Did we know that it was going to be a full-fledged camp when they were doing this fundraising thing last week? Or did I just miss something, possibly?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was going to be a camp.
Did you guys?
What did you guys get from it?
Well, I didn't think it was going to be an overnight camp. I thought it was like an event.
Yeah, I thought it was just a fundraiser. Yeah. And I didn't know how exactly they were going to provide the funds that were raised. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know this was how.
Right.
That it was going to be a full 7-day long cabin, you know, cot camp.
Right. Yeah, I wasn't really sure at the time, but I figured it was some type of camp, but I just figured it was like a day camp thing or something. But we see that Phaedra was able to give 150 kids completely free ride through this 7-day camp.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 7 days. But so she said kids ages 7 to 17, they got in free, and they had T-shirts, clothing, like soap, everything that they needed for camp.
I mean, I think it's amazing. You know, it's a serious issue that's going on in Flint with the water crisis. So I'm just glad to see Phaedra has a foundation that's in Flint, Michigan, that's, you know, dedicated to these kids.
Right.
And who would have known out of all people she was going to choose Kenya to go on this road trip with her. So I like that, to see them together, because like I said, I feel like when women do come together, it's super powerful.
Right. Yeah.
So to see them like without any arguments, any conflicts or any issues, for see them come together for this moment, you know, I thought it was amazing. It was needed.
Right.
You know.
Definitely. And they acted like almost like best friends.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
This is the thing that I hate, that Kenya was still acting bad and bougie. She was still acting bougie when she got to the place, because she didn't want to sleep in
the cot.
In the room. But she complained. She was like, oh my God, you know, I just want to do everything. I want to see everything around this camp, but you didn't want to sleep on the bed.
Right.
And that's the only way you can feel like you're a part of that camp and,
exactly.
you know, really,
you have to really
experience what these kids are probably dealing with. Because think about them. Some of them probably don't even have homes.
Right.
How do we feel about the twirling lesson?
I thought, what do you think about it?
I mean, so I was going to ask you guys the same thing, because I found it really funny at first. You know, I've been coming around to Kenya, but I found it funny that she was going to be the person to do the character development. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, for the way that she acts sometimes, like, do you really want her teaching character development?
Exactly.
The one thing that I can say about Kenya, though, is that she always does hold herself, like, very well. Like, no matter how mad she is or whatever manipulation she's, like, trying to pull on people, like, she's always, like, presenting herself well. Like, she's always smiling and always, like...
Like, it's not getting to her.
Yeah. And I sometimes wish that I could be like that.
Right.
So, I think, to some extent, it actually was good, even though I was thinking that was funny at the beginning of the season. But the way that she put it, she says it takes courage to do these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people will tell you you're not pretty or you're too this or too that or you're not this and you're not that, but you just have to twirl on them.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I felt like some of the twirls got a little out of hand. And a little fast, per se. But I don't want to teach the kids
what
bad attitudes.
What do you mean they got out of hand? Explain.
They got a little, you know, fancy with the twirls and the hair flips. I was like, I don't want to teach the little girls bad attitudes because they're going to be twirling on people for no reason.
Well, I think it's a sign of confidence.
Yeah.
You know, from like the lesson that she taught within that moment. You
now
know, it's showing that when you're dealing with negativity, you twirl on the haters.
It's a difference between confidence and cocky, too, though.
Yeah.
And I feel like some of those twirls I saw were a little... Like, they were gonna try to pull them at the wrong time.
Well, I think... This is my opinion. I feel like, based on the lesson that she taught the girls, when she asked them, like, how many have you all been told that, you know, you're too dark or you're too, you know, your hair is nappy or just if you've been told negative things, like, all of your life.
Right.
And, you know, just to see those amount of girls raise their hand. And when she told them, okay, this is the remedy to overcoming those problems, just twirl on them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that's not, you know, I think it's preventing them from, you know, having conflict with enemies or anything like that. I think it's something light and fun. That's what she's known for.
Yeah. I do agree with that. I just feel like the way that some of those twirls were presented, it just gave me a little bad and bougie, you know?
A little bad and bougie.
Yeah, tell us what you guys think. If you're in the chat right now, tell us what you think. And hopefully we'll be able to see your responses and we can comment. But,
Yeah,
I actually didn't think it was too bad.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully they just learn how to twirl at the right time.
Yes.
I can say
so
that.
So we just need them to...
the right time and the right place.
Exactly.
Don't be twirling on, you know, people for no reason.
Right. So,
listen, twirl on them haters.
Yeah. Exactly. That's all.
Yeah. So...
don't twirl on your teachers.
Exactly.
And your mamas.
Yeah.
Because that'll get out of hand. That's what I meant by it would get out of hand, you know?
Yeah, no, I could totally...
Twirling on the
now
wrong
I
people.
Can see what you're saying. Yes,
yes.
Like on your teachers and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Like
I can see
Kenya
that.
Told me to twirl, but no, your mama will twirl you back around.
So we see them, you know, she gives that little talk and she has girls come on stage and they do that. And then you see them do all kinds of activities with the kids,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was really fun because
yeah.
they got to do a lot of really cool things that, you know, these kids probably don't get a chance to do. I mean, they go zip lining, they take some type of like boat out on something. I'm not really sure what they were doing there, but
right.
And then I think the most touching part of the camp was the stories that they got to tell
mm-hmm.
at the end.
After the talent show. Very
like,
heartfelt.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it, actually.
Especially
but
the, yeah.
It just makes you realize, like, you know, most kids or children that are struggling or coming, you know, in families that are struggling don't necessarily realize that they're struggling because, you know, they're going through childhood. So it's like everything is good and dandy because they don't realize the struggles that their parents are actually going through. You know, you're oblivious, you're naive. But to see that those kids actually realize how much they were struggling and how much of a burden Flint is on their lives and how much they know they need to get out of Flint lets you know how serious and critical the situation is out there in Flint.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good point.
I mean, just the young men, you know, themselves stepping up to release that type of information.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know, as far
it
as
had
them,
to be a
that, yeah, I thought that was really touching. And like I said, I feel like that moment right there just showed that it was bigger than that show. Like their
mm-hmm.
platforms
mm-hmm.
and just their fan base, you know, in itself is extremely important because so many people are touched and moved by, like, you know, some of the you know, I guess I want to say some of the organizations they build for these
right.
kids.
Right.
So, I thought that was a powerful moment just to see them, you know, release themselves and to see Phaedra and Kenya, you know, just console them during that moment.
Right. Exactly.
Because that was,
exactly.
I mean, that was really heavy.
Mm-hmm. It was.
You know.
And
so.
I loved the part where Kenya and Phaedra did console them because I think one thing that Phaedra said that was really good was that she is going to be a voice for the voiceless. And I thought that was really powerful, and I just hope she sticks to that, because these kids' stories were really, really tough. I mean, even the kids in the audience, like, it was resonating with them too, that, you know, there are really hard things that these guys have to go through.
Right.
And I think, you know, these kids aren't going to be heard. So Phaedra stepping up for them to be their voice, I just really hope that this is something that she continues. She said to them, this is not a one-time thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I hope she sticks with that.
Definitely, definitely.
Anything else in terms of the camp that you guys wanted to bring up? Because basically we just see that, and then, you know, they have their end ceremony for the end of the camp, and we see that Phaedra and Kenya make a truce to kind of get their friendship back on track.
Right. Well, I just, like, a fun fact, I didn't know that it took Kenya 3 times to become a Miss America.
Is it Miss America or Miss USA?
Miss USA.
Yeah, Miss USA.
Don't let Kenya get in our comments. They already going in on us.
I didn't know it took her 3 times.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I didn't either. So I thought that was a good point that she brought up with the kids. Like, you can't just give up after the first time that you try.
I just want Phaedra to, you know, just be cautious about, you know, her friendship or her relationship with Kenya. I just feel like Kenya's always up to something. She can't be trusted.
Definitely.
So, you know, this whole, okay, let's call it truce and, you know, let's move forward, I'm a big fan of it and I'm all for that. But, you know, we know what they went through in the past, and it was just, you know, it was very low. Mm-hmm. Like, Kenya, she threw some low blows, you know, towards Phaedra. So hopefully they can keep this up, because, like I said, you know, it should be about women empowerment.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Phaedra and friendships, how did you guys feel about the situation with Portia, I guess?
Yeah, so, gosh, I mean, I actually think,
in her telling, you know, the anger management to Kenya, and Kenya just bringing it up, period.
I mean, I feel like Kendra's looking for something to...
Kendra?
Or Kendra. What am I... Now I'm adding people. I'm putting people's names together at this point. Sorry,
y'all,
guys.
It's late.
Kendra. Kenya.
We tied. Yes.
That's their, like, friendship name. Right. They're not Thelma and Louise. They're Kendra. It just flows too well. So I think that Kenya was really, like, reaching. Like, did she really have to bring up this anger management thing? Right. I mean, when you know somebody's struggling, like, give them a chance. Just let it go.
Right. Well, I feel like things are catching up to Phaedra, pretty much. Because I feel like Phaedra was a little tongue-tied trying to explain herself of how Kenya even knows about this.
Right.
And I was surprised. Yeah, and I was surprised that Portia didn't even think, you know, deeper into it. Like, I was surprised that she even came back for Phaedra. And the fact that she was like, I came back specifically for Phaedra to let Phaedra know that I was, you know, not mad at her or whatever. So I was actually thinking, like, wow, I can't believe Portia doesn't realize or doesn't even, like, get the hint that Phaedra is the one is the root of all of this drama right here, right now.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I just think it's a, you know, like Portia said, it's a time and a place to discuss, you know, something that's serious, like anger management.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it just, you know, it wasn't out of good, I guess, intent when Kenya approached and when she, you know, put it out there in front of the table. It's, if you're scared, come on. I mean, they didn't affect you from or prevent you from going on other trips. So why is it, you know, why are you afraid now to step out? I think she was being mad shady about the whole situation. And, you know, I just feel like she should never, like, called her out in front of the girls.
Right. And then I feel like it was Candy who said, how did we get from going on a trip to Portia's anger management? And I didn't get it either. It was just like, you really, really push the issue.
Right. Yeah, and I think that was, like, a confusing part of this dinner, because Kenya brings it up, and she brings it up in, like, a harsh way, too. She doesn't try to pull her aside. She doesn't try to say it in, like, a kind way. She's just so blunt about it, and it comes off sounding really nasty, and, like, she's trying to manipulate Portia into something, or maybe just trying to get Portia to, I don't know, be embarrassed. I don't know how she
was shady as hell.
Yeah.
Like, with the comment. I mean, she, and then on top of that, she threw Phaedra under the bus.
Right.
You know, and she was like, oh, Phaedra, but you told me she was trying to talk about it when we went to the escape the room thing or whatever. And I just feel like I said, it's a time and a place. Like, anger management is something that's super serious.
Right.
So Portia is working on it. Let her Now, let that be an intimate moment for her.
Right.
You know, call, like she said, contact her over the phone, you know, mm-hmm. send a text message, stop by her crib. Right. Like, let's talk about it. Let's not put it out there on the surface for everybody to just chime in and have their input. Because right. even if she is going to anger management, even if she's really learning something from it, you know, I think the girls are just going to take it and run with it anyway.
Right.
And then I think that Portia was so, you know, taken back by it because I feel like whenever she was ready to tell them, I guess whenever she felt like she had made enough progress, she was going to tell them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the fact that, you know, they threw it at her before she even had a chance to give it to them, it just kind of like threw her off guard. And then I see that she made the point, like, I'm not doing this for you guys. So I feel like it made her feel like, you know, like she didn't want them to feel like she was trying to change for them specifically.
Right.
When, you know, she could possibly, but it's just like she needed the time to tell them herself. She needed to be ready. She needed to feel ready, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like that was the whole, like, next episode she's going to say, I'm very open about my anger management. And everybody like, girl, just last week you were not open. But I feel like I can kind of understand where she's coming from. Like, I am open, but I wasn't ready to tell y'all. I didn't even know y'all knew, but she didn't have a problem telling you if I would have been the one to bring it up.
Right.
What's the difference between, like, you know, her, I guess, being open about her anger management and the girls being, you know, I guess cautious about it, you know, in Atlanta versus them going on a trip?
Yeah.
You know, like Sheree said.
Somebody said that Sheree the show.
Sheree said if she wanted to whoop your ass, you know what I'm saying? If she wanted to whoop your ass on the trip, she can do it in Atlanta.
Right.
So, like, what's the difference? You know, just like I said, I feel like, you know, Kenya was being really shady when she brought it up.
Yeah.
And this is not a, you know, it's not an issue that you play around with. That's a serious, you know, that's a struggle.
Right. And like you said, Portia said she felt ambushed. Mm-hmm. So I think she would be okay to tell them on their own time. But Candy, you know, said, like you said, Mo, Candy said, you know, how did we get here? And then she tried to offer, like, another way around it. Like, hey, are you going to anger management? How is it going? Then she brought up something separate in her like, one-on-ones. But what do you guys think? Do you think Portia is actually going to anger management?
It's kind of tough now because we haven't heard anything about it since the first episode.
Right.
So I'm not sure, actually.
I mean, how can we tell if she's going? You know, that's a process.
Right.
That's you know, she's true, not going to change overnight. I mean, I think like she hasn't really been into any arguments or she hasn't, you know, we haven't heard her, you know, get into any physical altercations with other people. But, you know, I think she's going. And if she is, I think that should be totally, you know, up to her. And I think that should be, you know, sacred within her. Like, I feel like she don't have to express it to anybody to prove a point.
Well, I just feel like we would at least see a little bit of it on the show.
Right, because we did see that one therapy session with her.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was just the first episode.
Right.
So that's just like, all right, me reintroducing myself back to the world.
Right.
I'm in anger management.
Right.
On the first episode.
Right.
And it's like, I haven't seen anything about it. And I feel like it would actually make for good entertainment if we were to see one of the sessions and maybe it was heartfelt and maybe she was giving us a lot, you know?
It'll be almost superficial. It'll be, you know, it wouldn't be as real as we wanted it to be. You know, like I said, I think going to anger management, going to those type of counseling classes, that's, you know, that's sacred. That's something that should be between you and the counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And then it depends on who she's going to. If she's going to somebody that's super legit, they're not going to let the cameras in the room.
Right. Well, and that's the tough part about being on TV, because if you do let the cameras in the room, how much do you actually, like, talk about while on camera? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure that there are things that are very private. I mean, obviously, there are things that are very private in a therapy session that you may not want on TV.
And I'm sure she's been asked by the producers, like, oh, do you mind we record a session? Can we tape it?
But she hasn't even mentioned it to anyone else, period, throughout the show. Like, she could even say something about it, you know?
Well, I don't think anyone brought it up. I don't think it was, like, even seen set up for her to, like, just randomly come out, like, oh, I'm in counseling, it's going well. Like, honestly, you see the change, you know, in the different scenes. She's really not as angry as she used to be. I feel like, she's rushing life and she's trying to, you know, have a child and build a family, but you don't see her getting into arguments with these other women. Like, she's speaking and having fun with everybody.
And I feel like she even handled this situation.
Yeah.
Like, she got up and left. That could have been a whole nother.
Exactly. You could have
I was to climb through the TV for her. You know, because
that's what I'm saying. Like, somebody mentions, like, she doesn't think that she has a problem. And I somewhat wonder the same thing. Because, I mean, some of the situations where Portia's been in, like, she was provoked and, like, egged on to do this. And, again, like, violence is not right. But
it's not.
the whole situation with Kenya, I was about to jump through the TV myself. I was like, Andy Cohen needs to stop this because this is ridiculous.
Yeah. Made
I thought like the way that she got off the up the table, I thought that was what was about to happen. I'm like, oh, is she about to like grab Candy from across the table? But she walked away, so I was proud of her.
Yeah.
I mean, Sheree made a valid point. She said Kenya provokes people from the mat.
Well, we
like, listen,
that.
We don't condone violence, like you said, but from the mat situation to the Porsche situation, like, you are pushing these people. Mm-hmm. You're pushing people's buttons, but when they bounce back, it's like you throw the rock and you hide your hand.
Right.
Definitely. You know, Kenya, you don't want to reveal yourself.
But see, that's where Kenya is so good. Like, she never has to resort to that violence. Right. So why does everybody else have to?
And then she kept chasing Porsche.
I know. And I understood. She's like, why is it me? Everybody's following you. Why is it me? Because you're not my friend. They can follow me. They have my best interest at heart.
And she said, I've never followed you out of a restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, why would you follow me?
Because I'm not your friend. I don't like you. I wouldn't want to follow you. So it's just like, ugh, I can't stand Kenya. She can't handle the blame on her at any point, but she's ready to go tooth and nail when, you know, she's putting the pressure on.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what else is happening in Portia's life, because it seems like Portia's dealing with a lot right now. We find out that she passed out in the nail salon, and she almost had a seizure. This is the fifth time that it's happened, and her doctor basically told her to rest for a few days, like, be on bed rest. They think it's stress that caused it. Have you ever been so stressed out that you like fainted or passed out?
No, I haven't.
Well, I mean, I didn't fall out, but I definitely I got really sick.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to balance so many things at once.
Yeah.
So I know Portia is doing a lot. Then on top of that, she's stressed out, you know, about the baby situation, her relationship with Todd.
Right.
So I think she is, you know, kind of overwhelmed.
Right.
Or whatever, but you know, hopefully that was a wake up call, because if the blood is not going up to your brain and it's not contacting, that can cause some serious issues. And she could
I can't imagine the stress that she must be going through.
Yeah. And then you got to be preparing to have a baby, so you got to get healthy.
So let's talk about that. So we see her and Todd meet and they start talking, and basically Todd drops this bomb on us that basically there was some issue at work because of a social media post that they put out, and work said you can pick your job or you can pick Portia.
Right. And he chose
Portia.
Right. Which was pretty shocking.
That's stupid. I would never choose.
It's so crazy. So he said, I choose you. And she's and Portia has, she's shocked. Just as shocked as I was. Like, maybe I was more shocked, but she's completely shocked. And like, what is going on? Like, why would you do that? So I couldn't tell if Portia was freaking out because she is truly scared. Like, this is a guy who just up and quit his job because of a social media post. Like, is he going to be that reckless with everything else in his life? Or if she was like, shit, there's no more money coming in from him. And I mean, Portia has her own thing going on, though. So I don't know why she would worry about that.
Okay, see, I can understand where you're coming from, because I feel like if a guy would have quit his job for me, I would have been a little overwhelmed. Like, I can't believe you did that. Like, that's a lot, you know? Like, you're kind of doing
that
the most.
That puts a lot of pressure on
you. It's like, what can you bring to the table now? You quit your job because
no, but
of
still,
me?
Not even what can you bring to the table, but it's just like, wow, like, you're that crazy over me to quit your job?
Like, you're
like,
all
I don't
in.
Even know if I'm that crazy
that's
about crazy. You. It's kind of scary in a sense. Like,
Because
you know,
Portia already said in the beginning, she didn't want a relationship. She just wanted him to be the father of her child.
But then that's why I was also a little confused, because she was acting like angry with him or mad at him about certain, I don't know what even she was mad about, but you could just tell, like he said, I'm laughing because you're being passionate right now. But she was just like a hostile, but she was also saying like, I knew you, I didn't want you to be my boyfriend. And I felt like how hostile she was being in a way seemed like she wanted him to be her boyfriend. It's like, why are you this mad if you didn't want him to be your boyfriend and you knew?
I don't know, I just want to know, based on whatever was on social media, like, what actually got him, I mean, what made him, well, first of all, we know he made the decision because he wanted to be with Portia, but what clips was out there that, you know, made his job question, you know, whether if they wanted to have him, you know, a part of their workforce, like, what video was it, the videos when
was
they were at the beach?
I was wondering if it was the video at the beach just showing that it was those two, but then also that Portia
the mix
was at the
DNC.
yeah
I think it was
what
a mix.
And, because
so the
he
fact
said
that, Portia,
that his boss might vote for Trump.
Right. So the fact that Portia was a Democrat and he was with a Democrat, like, that's his girlfriend
that's
officially.
Stupid.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
What does that have to do with his work?
But overall,
what he's bringing
it
could have
been
table?
Just the fact that he is on this show.
Yeah,
period.
Be.
and they just made an excuse, or they mixed some things together.
Yeah, because he was working together. In D.C., right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, that makes even more sense, him being in D.C. It does get that serious out there as far as politics.
That's crazy. Like, I guess it goes to show you have to be careful what you put on social media, but he didn't post that.
Right.
Yeah, that's...
You know, but it's like, okay, let's get Trump out of the office because of his tweets then.
Yeah.
Well, they have the IRS checking on him. Yeah. But I have to say...
That's crazy.
How much of a catch do we think Todd is now?
Yeah.
Compared to the beginning. At first, we loved him.
I know.
But I'm not sure if he's much of a catch anymore.
Will y'all quit y'all job for y'all dude?
No, and especially not at the stage of the relationship that they're in. So maybe, you know, way down further down the road. Yeah. Married already. Yeah. You know, possibly already the kid that they're preparing for. But not at this stage.
What about you, Jess?
Yeah, I would. Not, just like Mo said, like, not this early on. I mean, Portia doesn't even know if she wants to be with this guy, and he kind of had to talk her into it. She wanted to have a baby. So I feel like this is just, this puts a lot of pressure on the relationship that it's like it doesn't need to be.
Right.
So, yeah, I would down the road. But
I feel like this show is kind of getting to Todd.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's why he quit his job, because he's like, okay, well, if I can put 100% into this relationship with Portia, then maybe me and her will go far, possibly get married, have children, and then I'll be a castmate on the show. So I need to put my 100% into this. I need to give all my effort into this. And I can kind of tell that, I don't know, like, this show is affecting him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's crazy for quitting his job.
He is for
Portia. Like, Portia is beautiful, don't get me wrong, but, you know, dude, you worked hard. I'm sure he went to school, he got his degree.
Right, and it was a great job.
And you let all of that go for a woman.
Right.
Like, it's beautiful women out there in D.C.
Didn't even fight for it.
Educated. Right.
Yeah. I just think it's pretty, it's really just, like, reckless just to up and quit your job. And then she said that he's been pretty irresponsible. They got in a fight because he's, like, keeping her up at night, and he hasn't really been looking for a job. So yeah, that is what's going on with Portia and Todd. So tell us out there, would you, if you were in the same situation, would you quit your job for your significant other, if you were that early on in this? And if your significant other quit their job for you, how would you feel about it? Because that puts a lot of pressure on Portia. So what else did we see this episode?
Shrey and Bob.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Shrey and Bob. Yes.
I jumped into a pool of sweat.
So Bob is still sweating, if anybody's curious. I mean, like, full out drenched.
They need to have a towel on standby for him every scene he's in.
I mean, he should have known that after, like, the first episode. Like, looks
should
like...
He should have a towel on him.
Is he nervous?
Like, I literally don't sweat that much when I run a mile.
I think he literally... No, I'm not even joking. Look, I think he has a problem.
I bet he stinks.
I think he does, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
He should just keep a towel on him.
Okay, so... Yeah. Y'all just gonna let me talk shit about him and say that he has a problem
now. I mean... It's just a sweat problem. I'm sure they can take care of that.
Right, obviously not a big one.
Yeah, so they go on this date because he kind of wants to make up for the last date that they had.
Right.
So they go to this place.
And all the years of messed up marriage.
Yeah, so they go to this place and they have dinner and they have this lady dancing for them. And then
it was like a cabaret.
Yeah, and he gets up there and starts dancing around himself. So what did you guys think of this?
You can tell that... Sheree was with him because of his personality.
Yeah.
And also the money.
Yeah. No, but I was looking at the pictures and he was actually kind of handsome back in the day.
She couldn't even figure out what she was attracted to. Like, you know, it was that pause.
Right, super awkward pause.
She was like, oh.
No, I don't think she was saying his sex game. That's what I got.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. That's what
the pause was for. It was
that pause was like, let me figure out what is it
about
you.
So that's what I thought it was at first. Full. Yeah.
What was the pause for, y'all?
What do you think the pause was for? Because at first I thought she was trying to remember why she was into him.
That's what
But then I was with you. I thought,
like, she was just didn't want to be too, you know, straightforward about it.
Yeah.
Well... I don't know. I really don't know about that sex life. But I thought it was like, you know, I think it was a step up for Bob to, you know, plan this outing, you know, with her. It was super different. or whatever. I feel like I said, I can tell that Sheree really loves Bob.
Yeah.
And I think she's willing to give him another chance. So I think I see he's stepping up to the plate to show her that, you know, I really want to be with you. I'm a change man, but, you know, let's give it a few more episodes and see.
Exactly. I think so too as well. Yeah. He's really putting forth a lot of effort.
Right. And that's what she says. She says this reminds her of the old Bob, and she wants to know if this is like, if he's truly changing as a person.
Right. Or is it temporary?
It takes more than outings for you to figure it out.
Exactly. So she said if it is a true change, she'll give him a real shot. But, I mean, even the old Bob is scary because we hear about the story, you know, all these infidelities that he had and the story in Spain. It's just like, I don't know, Sheree. Sheree's... I'm not into Bob, but...
Have we noticed that Phaedra's favorite word... Do y'all know what Phaedra's
favorite word? Phaedra, her favorite word?
Yeah. Recently.
Gosh.
Nasty.
Nasty?
She uses it for everything. Like, I feel like she thinks it's a good thing. She's, like, even when the kids were at the talent show, she said, oh, they doing that old nasty school dance. I'm like, I don't think that should be the adjective.
It made me... I'm thinking about the inauguration. The not the inauguration, but the women's march.
Yeah, the
nasty. Did y'all see Ashley Judd's come
yes,
in?
Yes, oh my God.
I'm a nasty woman. Yeah. But not as nasty as the man that looked like he bathes in Cheeto dust.
Oh.
It was hilarious. I'm sorry.
It was.
Super random, guys. Super random.
But no, I noticed that about Phaedra. She like uses nasty as a good thing. She's like, that old nasty.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So, switching over to Candy and Cynthia, we don't see much of them this episode, but Cynthia is actually moving in for a few days with Candy.
Right. Oh, I do want to talk about Cynthia. How did y'all feel about that appraisal? Like, to me, it didn't come genuine.
Did you check our comments?
No.
Because we have some serious smart viewers out there, so they were teaching us all about the appraisals and everything, and they said it's really weird that they had two appraisals on the same house, because that's something that rarely ever happens.
So this was three.
This was three that just happened. But they were saying it's even weird that somebody went back and reappraised the house.
Right. Why would you? Actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
I don't know.
But it didn't seem genuine to me. It felt real set up. She's at Candy's house. Candy's wondering when she's about to leave. She wakes up and randomly gets the call while her and Candy are right there having a conversation. Congratulations, you know, and it's just like, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then that was it, you know, like, it got appraised this time, congratulations. And then she's like, I'm officially a lake house owner. It just didn't seem real at all to me, at all.
So do you think she's moving into the lake house?
I think so,
but I don't know, something about the situation just didn't seem real to me.
Yeah.
Why, because she had the phone call when she was on the show?
Yeah, and it was so simple. And it was just a yes like that.
Well, you know, we only see bits and pieces that they air, so who knows what the process is.
And then the timing
like
of it.
Behind the scenes, yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty much the timing of it for me. Mm-hmm. And then, just how simple it was. It was like, okay, it was just that simple, and now you have the house again. Like, you just trust it. All right, the appraisal came back.
Yeah,
our smart viewers can tell us something this week about that. How did y'all feel about
that? We can't see your chat, guys. So sorry.
I wish we could see you guys,
but we'll check your comments. Yeah, we have some seriously smart viewers. So
I know y'all are so smart and rude and loving and encouraging.
everything.
So Cynthia's getting the house. I think that's about it. I don't think.
Yeah, it is.
It just looks like, I mean, we ended the show with Phaedra, Portia, and Sheree just sitting back at the table because everyone had left. And I know we kind of talked about, you know, what went with them anyway. Anyways, but I know we did leave out. I know, Justin, you, I keep saying I know, so I'm sorry. Justin, you said that you want Phaedra to be careful about the things that she says to Kenya. Well, that's exactly what Portia was saying at the end of the show.
Yeah.
She just said, you know, be careful with your relationship with Kenya and how she comes back into your life. Because, and I think that's a good point. I mean, I think that's very smart of Portia to bring that up.
Right. We didn't see Matt this episode.
I know. We saw no Matt. We saw no Mama Joyce.
Right.
So.
And it's interesting because what's Portia's friend named Shamika?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Shamia.
Shamia, you know, when it was showing the clips for next week's episode, she was warning Portia about Phaedra.
Right.
So I thought it was just interesting to see how, you know, it's just like everything is correlating.
Well, and that's what Portia was saying this episode, is that Shamia and Phaedra do not
get along.
Get along.
Yeah. And then Sheree dropped a little tea next episode. She kind of sat back and didn't say much this episode. Yeah. Even at the table with Portia and all the drama with her and Kenya, I feel like Sheree didn't say much as she usually would. Yeah. But next episode, we can see that she's going to get a little messy. Usual Sheree.
So is she the one that brings it up that Shamia's been sleeping with everybody's husband?
Yep. But she brings up the conversation. Who was all at the Yoni class with them? It was Portia, Sheree, and someone else came. Shamia came.
Yeah.
And so, so Shamia said that Phaedra was sleeping with everyone's husband.
Oh, I thought they said Shamia.
They said Shamia.
Yeah.
Was sleeping with everybody's
husband. I thought
husband.
Somebody said that Shamia was sleeping everybody's husband.
It flipped. And then Shamia was saying that I think Phaedra was trying to talk to a guy that she was with.
Right.
Like at an event.
Husband. Shamia's okay, married. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, so next episode we see some type of argument with those guys. And we also see Cynthia and Matt having a conversation.
Right.
What the hell is that about?
Well, I'm sure Matt was probably asking her, okay, what's going on with your friend? You know, and Cynthia is probably being nosy and just trying to get to the bottom of their
Like,
their
why
issues.
Is he even in this situation anymore, though?
Because he really cares about Kenya. Right. I think he genuinely cares about her. But and Kenya, clearly, she needs a storyline and she needs a man in order to maintain her status on this show.
And there hasn't been any real closure.
Because
there hasn't been closure.
He loves her. Everything that Kenya is doing is on camera.
Mm-hmm.
The things that that Matt is doing is behind the scenes. It's stuff that we don't see, which is genuine. Which is, you can tell that he really loves her, but it's coming off as if he's the crazy person because he's reacting in that way.
Right.
But we're not seeing, like, both sides. We're only seeing, like, a one-sided thing.
Right.
And that's Matt acting crazy.
Right. And that's something that we've been saying for a while now. We, as we always say, like, we don't agree with the violence. Well, I mean, I don't agree with the violence. But Matt has put out online that some of these situations have been manipulated to make him look like he's the bad guy. And there's nothing he can do about it.
It's two sides to a story. We can't just go based on what we see on television, on the show.
I know.
And say that, you know, she's the victim. You know, he's abusive and all of that. Because you don't know what she did to even get him to that place.
So
saying that we don't condone it. But at the same time, it's like, we know Kenya provokes. You know, she provokes people.
So do you think he's on there to, like, tell his side of the story and get that off his chest?
Something for next week?
Yeah.
I mean, it's no telling. I'm sure, like I said, I think he's really trying to make it work with her.
I feel like he'll be trying to get it off his chest, as well as let Cynthia know how much he cares about her as well.
Yeah.
But it really depends on who set up the meeting, though.
Right.
Because we don't know if Matt set it up or if Cynthia, you know, called him.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has to stop destroying her house, though. So we'll see what happens
there. I'd rather for him to destroy the house than to put his hands on her.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. But then we also see Kenya. It looks like she's at Cynthia's new house, and she kind of storms off. Yeah. I don't know what she's upset about. And then the only other thing that we see is
She's upset because of the conversation with Matt.
Yeah.
And I think it is the comment that she said, too. I think she said something that Kenya, you know, she's either crazy or, you know, something. She kind of called her out of her name, but
I don't think it was anything like that.
So I think, you know, I got back to Kenya and that's when
Kenya got upset.
Yeah, got upset.
Definitely.
And then we see Phaedra getting ready for camp. So that's what we have for next week. And before we go, we have just a little bit of news and gossip for you guys. So
we do?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
We do. I was like, don't we? We do. We thought you guys wanted news and gossip, so we have some news and gossip for you guys.
Right. Well, Portia is a little mad at Nene, basically from... Was it last season?
Yeah.
And Nene speaking the real. I feel like Nene was really honest, and that was a real perspective. But basically, she was saying Portia should control herself and not fight and attack everyone that, you know, comes for her. You know, you got to keep your composure. That's what Nene was saying. So I feel like Portia's a little salty about that now. And Nene and Portia's friendship is not all good and dandy as it used to be.
Right.
So. Well, speaking of Miss Nene Leakes, she was on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen tonight, and she was talking about the split between Candy and Portia. So Candy went to social media. You guys want to read the whole thing? It's kind of long. I'm going to try to be as entertaining as possible.
There you go.
Bear with me, my people. So Candy posted this on her Instagram like maybe an hour ago. She said, I had to post this because NeNe Leakes just explained perfectly what I felt. For those who wonder why I've reacted the way I have reacted this season, I'm extremely loyal, but for the last couple of years, I've kept my mouth closed while I was getting dragged on and off camera. So this year, I was just done. At the end of the day, we should respect girl codes, but that means when the friendship is done, you don't say anything about each other. Not just I don't say anything about you while you blast the hell out of me all the time. Please remember, you guys only get bits and pieces of what you get to see on the show. NeNe has been privy to info that y'all don't know, so her perspective is a lot more clear on this situation. Isn't it funny to hear NeNe and I on the same page? Hashtag Jesus fixed it.
Wow.
Jesus fixed it.
So Candy, this is like the theme of the year for Candy. Like, she Candy came in here. If you guys haven't seen the interview that we did with Candy, go check it out. I know I sent the link to somebody in the comments last episode, or maybe it was two episodes ago, but either way, she told us that this was the year where she wasn't going to sit back and bite her tongue anymore.
She's barking.
She pretty much said the exact same thing that she said in that caption.
And we just talked about that last week. We had some type of, was it a tweet last week that you read, or was it also Instagram? No,
it was Instagram post, yeah.
Okay. Same thing as last week, so go Candy.
Yes, I'm loving this.
Yeah, I still love Candy, so sorry, guys.
Yeah, right. I love it,
not,
too.
Not everybody's feeling Candy.
Oh, really? Definitely this season. Yeah.
Some people are saying she's, like, not a good friend.
I think Candy has always been loyal.
Yeah.
It's just, like, now she's stepping up. She's really defending herself and her character. Because, you know, seeing, like, you know, when they do these interviews, you see a lot of the shadiness and people talking, you know, crap about her.
Right.
Okay, no, but I talked to my best friend about this situation, and we were trying to put ourselves in a scenario. If you were Phaedra and your husband, your significant other, was bringing stuff to your house without you knowing, would you be mad that Candy kept the secret? Like, why wouldn't you tell me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how would you feel about that?
And that's what people are saying online. That's... Okay, let me think. So
I feel like that makes it a whole different ballgame.
Right.
You know? It's like, why were you keeping that secret?
Right.
You know? I do have a reason to be offended. And then if people want to say, why did Phaedra go talk to NeNe about that?
Mm-hmm.
Phaedra didn't feel like she could talk to Candy about it because Candy is obviously keeping secrets.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I need to vent to someone else because my best friend is obviously not my best friend like I thought she was.
Yeah. So what do you think Candy's reasoning behind that was?
I have no idea.
Do you think like there's something else going on with Phaedra that we all don't know about?
Well, we're seeing she's calling Phaedra out on everything. So I think it's slowly unfolding. But, you know, like she said in the post, we only see bits and pieces of everything.
Definitely.
So I think it is more to it, but we're starting to see people's true colors.
I know.
Because Candy's not holding back.
I know.
She ain't playing.
I know. Right, so that's all we have for today. First, before we go, I want to give a shout out to Swear84, or maybe it's Swear84. I don't know, but Swear84, thanks for all the comments.
Last week?
Every week. Oh, every week, Swear comments on our stuff. Super positive, super interactive. Always comments and is there with us. So thanks so much.
Appreciate the support, too.
I know.
Yeah. Whether positive or negative. The fact that you guys are tuning in is amazing.
I know.
We love your feedback.
We do. So please comment and like our YouTube post. Please comment because I will write to you. And that's all we have for today. So hopefully English will be back next week.
Yes, English, come back.
Yeah, we miss you. So we'll see you guys next week. Until next week, you can find me online at Athletic and tell everybody where they can find you guys.
All right. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at MOClassify.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at It's Me, Jay Hart.
We'll talk to you guys later and see you next week. Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.